All right. Good afternoon. I'm with the. I'm Connie Mitchell, and I'm the health officer in the Office of Health Equity, where the Health and All Policies Task Force is housed currently. My disclosures is that while that's where I'm employed, I'm here today on my own time. I saw that there was one person with state government in California. Our out-of-state travel is very restricted. So while I'm here today talking about my experience as an employee of the state of California, I'm not actually speaking on behalf of the state of California. I have no financial relationship with commercial interests, and I'm not discussing any off-label health products. You've seen the acknowledgments here, but I want to go into just a little bit more detail because I think maybe some of you are thinking about how do you structure this and how do you organize it, and that's kind of my part of today's discussion. And I think that this is applicable whether you're working at a state or a local level. And the first thing is to find partners who can help you, who can bring gifts to the table and who are interested in doing this work together, so that when Governor Schwarzenegger issued the executive order, there was a lot of behind-the-scenes work that had been done before that executive order came out to inform the governor from multiple different people that this was a worthy endeavor, and there was some different processes involved. And then when the executive order came out, the task force was housed within the cabinet level, so it gave it a high level of authority. So you would think about what's the highest level of governing body that you're working with, whether it's at the county or the city level. And then having that Strategic Growth Council be kind of the oversight body, the executive order said that the Department of Public Health would then facilitate and support the task force so that you would have the expertise of the Department of Public Health to assert the health lens that you just heard about. But since you definitely need to have staffing, and you've just heard from all of my excellent staff who support this, this backbone staff who have just come with a repertoire of skills, we needed to have some funding for that. And that's when the California Endowment stepped up, and they provided funding that originally went to the University of California, San Francisco, and then went to the Public Health Institute, who've been our partners for the last couple of years. So that I actually, in my office in the state, we have office space for these staff members who reside on site in addition to other state staff. And because of the Public Health Institute and this partnership, we're able to attract some other funders to the project. That's harder. These are not possible for the state to have this direct funding. And in the meantime, we're looking and hoping that there'll be some federal funding for these kinds of efforts. And the whole reason why we're talking about this is that there are great barriers to health and health equity. These are complex health issues. No single agency is responsible. They're pervasive, and they undermine progress in other areas. They're sticky, and they're web-like. You all know about the determinants of health. They're also called the social determinants of health. And in the kind of the green bar is where a lot of people are working to identify and change the living and working conditions in which we live. But there's also that purple circumference on the outside. And that's where we have to look at what are the public education policies around funding of public education and school siting guidance and quality measures. For example, in California, one of the policies that were in place was that local school funding was dependent on local property taxes. So you can see right away that sets up an inequity, that higher property taxes have higher quality school facilities than lower property tax areas. So those are policy structures that then lead to subsequent inequities. Looking at minimum wage laws, employee protections, the quality of air and water, placement of major roadways and dams, state general plan guidance for local planners, land and ocean preservation, zoning laws, structural and cultural discrimination by race, ethnicity, gender, religion, sexual orientation, marital status, socioeconomic status. Access to health care, is it a right or a commodity? Immigration law, these are all the kinds of broad-based issues in that purple bar that we really need to tackle in order to progress on regards to health equity and advancing health. This is from Galea's study that you probably are familiar with, too, from 2011, where they looked at estimated deaths attributed to social and environmental factors. And it shows here that the other, the biggest bar is, you know, other causes of death, but when you look at close to 49% are due to these social factors. In fact, let's see, I'm going to look at my notes to make sure I get this right. When you look at the numbers of deaths attributed to low education, it's comparable to the number of deaths attributed annually in this country to myocardial infarction. If you look at the number of deaths attributed to racial segregation, it's comparable to the number of deaths from stroke in this country, the third leading cause of death. And if you look at the numbers of deaths attributed to low social support, it's comparable to the number of deaths we have each year in this country from lung cancer. So here's all the organizations that are involved in the task force. We convened through the aspirational goals, discussed them, and then came up with some implementation plans. The implementation plans sort of set out a way for us to begin to meet and to try to come to some common ground and to create some co-benefits for the agencies that are involved. But we also can modify them. They're not like a strict scope of work because there can be new information or new political realities or new leadership that wants to take it in a little bit different direction. So we have some flexibility, which is essential to this work. The ability to kind of adapt as you learn more and as you go more in depth to the problem area and to make some adjustments as you go. So now we have the, in addition to, you know, creating sustainability and changing the built environment, which started off as I think probably the primary goal, is this idea of promoting equity through the Health and All Policies Task Force. The aspirational goals certainly align us around the idea of equity, the development of the Healthy Communities Framework and the Healthy Community Indicator Project, which, by the way, 14 of the indicators are now posted in California so that at the zip code level, local communities can go in and get some very discrete measures of their community health. And root cause mapping, which helps you to go back and to really say, you know, how did we get where we're at and what are the hard issues that we have to address? And that means that our new deputy director is like, he's already setting up meetings with banking industry officials to see, you know, what are some of the economic changes that we have to make in order to reduce some of these inequities that we've created. The California Office of Health Equity was established last year, July 1, through the Health and Safety Code. It defines health equity and health inequities. It defines the determinants of equity. We have to create a state advisory committee, which met for the first time, and hire a deputy director, which we now have, and then this new Office of Health Equity. We're not reporting on health disparities in California. We are required to report on the social determinants of health in California and the disparities that exist within the social determinants of health. And then our strategic plan has to address how we're going to narrow the gap in those social determinants of health. If anybody else knows of anyone who's doing this work in this country or has some guides for us, please let us know. We think this is ambitious. We have a very diverse advisory committee who is going to be reaching out to various sectors around the state. We will be creating a guideline for the state of California. This is, I think, a really ambitious endeavor. And why I took this job, I worked in maternal, child, and adolescent health. I'm really proud of some of the work that I helped to lead in California around reducing disparities in maternal mortality and maternal morbidity. We've not only dropped our mortality, but we've narrowed our gap between African-American women and other race ethnic groups pretty dramatically. But I knew we would only get so far because we're doing a lot of our work around improved health care and quality of health care, and I knew that we really had to get to where we were addressing some of the social determinants of health. So when this job opened up, I jumped right on it because I knew, even though I didn't know how to do it, I knew that I wanted to be a part of the process. I wanted to be part of the effort to do it, that it was a worthy battle. My kids asked me the other day, you know, what do I do? And I said, I plant trees. They go, what do you mean? I said, I plant trees. They're trees that I may never enjoy their shade, but I plant them for you. So this is the relationship between the Health and All Policies Task Force. The task force will be providing a description of their efforts to include health inequity in all sectors, and the Office of Health Equity will develop a strategic plan in collaboration with the Health and All Policies Task Force. And then the advisory committee has to include representatives from applicable state agencies and departments. That tells me I need to wrap up. And you've heard about some of the accomplishments. I'm not going to go into detail on these. You've already heard about some of them, but these are some of the things that we know will impact equity, the creation of our Farm to Fork office to help to make food more accessible, locally grown food that can be used by local families and schools and businesses and governments. The food procurement work group that's created at our state level so that there can be some commonly shared nutritional guidelines. Our housing, siting, and air quality work group, who's struggling right now to really figure out how can we safely develop new housing in areas that aren't too close to roadways, and what do we do if the only available space that you have is close to a major roadway? What kind of protections can you put in place, or can you just not build there at all? So really wrestling with these difficult challenges. And then inserting public health considerations into the state general plan guidance, which Leanne described, which we think is just an incredible opportunity. We're engaging our public health officers all over the state, getting them advised about how local planning can really be a public health accomplishment, and want them to become educated and involved in doing this. Crime prevention through environmental design and our school siting guidance. Health equity won't happen by any one effort alone. The Health and All Policies Task Force, the Office of Health Equity, is just a piece of that. Our stakeholder groups have to be very strong voices. The general public, all of our hearings, all of our advisory group committees are publicly held. We have to post everything 10 days in advance. We have to allow opportunity for public comment after every single agenda item. We're doing extensive outreach to private business entities. So here's some contact information with some websites if you want further information, and thank you very much.